Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com. Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
The following is a presentation of the Four Center podcast feed.
From the center of the galaxy, this is the Four Center podcast feed, and this particular episode is one of our deep dives. We're going to dive deep into the past, in particular, the Force Awakens teaser trailer from the far-ago year of 2014. I'm excited to dive into that. I'm Joseph Scripshaw.
I'm Ken Nefsuk, and I'm laughing because that's not long ago. Oh my God, it's three lifetimes ago. Oh my. It's going to be fun.
Right. It is so many different cycles of thought in life ago, and yet it does absolutely feel like yesterday to me. So that's what makes it fun and interesting to look back on as we get into right around the time where it was released, but many years ago. But first, we want to let you know that today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/forcenter. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. This week, we are continuing to recommend Tempest Runner by Kevin Scott. It is a great new High Republic story. So if you're interested in that, you can download your free audiobook right now by going to audibletrial.com/forcenter. One more time, audibletrial.com/forcenter for a free audiobook. But there is still more, more,
more, I say. We have another offer from our friends at Inside Editions, publisher of a ton of great Star Wars books, and they're offering 35% off across their website if you use this special link, insideeditions.com/discount/FC35. This week, we're recommending the Inside Editions book, The Secrets of the Sith. We did the review, the deep dive on it a little bit ago. Great book. If you don't want that one or you already have it, don't worry. There's more Inside Edition Star Wars book, Game of Thrones books, other things, and more Star Wars books on the way. And you can use this link, insideeditions.com/discount/FC35. All right, Joseph, let's go back in time.
Yeah, we're going to time travel. I want to insert a TARDIS sound effect, but I'm not good at making it with my mouth, so I won't do that. I'll just say this, Ken, that it was a long time ago, right? In a social media landscape that now seems far, far away, that the Force Awakens teaser trailer was released. It was Black Friday, November 2014. We did not even know these characters' names yet. The movie was over a year out, and this was our first glimpse at the next generation of big screen Star Wars. So we're going to break it down a little bit, but we're also going to talk about it in general. So I just want to start with where were you when you saw it? Was it an event for you?
It was buried in another event, that event called Black Friday. November 28th, 2014, I was a security director of the Northridge Fashion Center in Northridge, California. Some of you might know it as the mall that collapsed in the 1994 earthquake. I had been there for a long time. A lot of people know that story. Another part of my life, the day job that wouldn't quit. But I was there, and I was a suit and tie wearing director of public safety, but my office was full of Game of Thrones and Star Wars toys. So, and I've talked about before too, how I even got in trouble for that. In the middle of all that chaos, and by this time I was doing the stuff for Schmoes No, Jedi Alliance and the Popcorn Talk Network. So I was, you know, plugged into that geekscape, that geek culture, and knew the thing was coming, was excited. And me and my assistant director, a great guy named Jason, same thing, kind of, rough and tumble former sheriff deputy from Texas, who was like, can I tell you a secret? I love Star Wars and Game of Thrones. It's like, you have come to the right spot. It is okay here. And we, huddled at my office computer, and not a giant screen either, but brought it on up. And I remember him kind of being over and almost on my shoulder as we watched that for the first time amidst all the chaos of Black Friday shopping days at the moment.
So on that, I totally forgot you would have still been at that job. So on that Black Friday, like obviously there are horror stories that make it out about, you know, literal fist fights and smash glass. Like, were you dealing with like a level of actual horror like that in the midst of watching BB-8 roll along?
Yeah, no, by the time it was, I want to remember, do I remember it correctly? It's like kind of late morning, early afternoon. That I don't know.
I believe here in LA, it was.
For us, yeah. That time, I mean, that would have been my second to last Black Friday. I worked about 30 hours, and then my last Black Friday, I worked 31 hours. I would sleep on the floor. Wow. So the horror had already passed. Like, I mean, you're talking like that was the year a group at 10 p.m. on Thanksgiving night ripped our glass doors down to get into the mall because we weren't opening till midnight. That kind of stuff happened all the time. So the horrors had happened, and I had just been in the office like, what a perfect way to catch my breath, Star Wars, new Star Wars.
You, I would imagine, then really took the narration about the dark and the light to heart, right?
I was like, hey, that lightsaber that guy has, I'd like to have one now.
I need one for security.
Yeah.
This weird lightsaber with the crossguard energy, it is for security. It is to protect whatever dolls are popular this year. Amazing. For myself, I had a much calmer time. I feel guilty now. I was definitely plugged into talking about Star Wars more, but on social media, not as much, you know, out and about on shows yet, or certainly doing podcasts about it. I was happy that it was a kind of a group conversation, but comedy is always been a big part of my life, but that was my main focus. I'm a comedian and a writer, so my response to something is like, at the time, I was not convinced that anybody gave a damn about my sincere Star Wars opinion.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So it was a little bit more like, I'm watching this for me and my soul, and then, you know, oh, what kind of joke might I make? But it was, you know, this was kind of an interesting Thanksgiving holiday for myself and my wife, because this was our first holiday in Los Angeles, and you know, we weren't flying home, and for us it had been like Thanksgiving was 2 to 3 stops.
right.
It was not a relaxing day off necessarily, and Black Friday was usually like, I have nothing to do with shopping, I'm writing whatever holiday show that I'm running late on, you know.
Right.
So for me, I didn't have a big holiday show. We didn't have 8 places to run to. My wife was making a tofurkey, and it was had already the day before. And then this was just a day off.
Right.
I remember it just being so peaceful and such a bonus that this is already a great holiday. And now there's new Star Wars. And I sat at my computer and my wife was over my shoulder, probably just as close as your coworker. Watched it, loved it, tweeted some jokes, had a warm feeling, and went on with my life.
And went on. Imagine that, watching a Star Wars trailer and just going on with your day.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because it is that combination of, like, I did have thoughts on that, but, you know, it's fun to remember a different time. It's not like I'm wishing it was that time. I'm happy that when a trailer comes out, I get to record and talk about it and think about it in this different way. So I don't want it to come off that way. But what was your overall emotional reaction to it? Did you were in, already in the, well, I'm going to talk about this on a broadcast. So did that color it? What was your overall reaction?
Yeah. And that would have been, I think, that following Monday, I would have been on Jedi Alliance, with Imad hadn't left the show yet. So it would have been us, but I wasn't thinking of it as we do now, right? Where like, oh, I better freeze frame and break down. And again, I'm with you too. Like, I love that. That's what we do now and get to do now. Instead, it was just like, watch it again. And just pure joy. And we're going to break down the little moments again, everything. But there's a lot of things. Yeah, right. Who's that? I don't know. That's an actor called Daisy Ridley. I don't know. That's the guy from the Coen Brothers movie. There's a lot of that going on. That Falcon hits. And that just was, it was the greatest thing in my life to that point, right? You know, just like, it just all else. Was noise. It was just that. And so it was just really pure, unadulterated joy.
Yeah, I think I was very much in the same spot. I remember my main reaction being that, you know, it'd been like two plus years, right, to kind of wonder what this new Star Wars was going to look like,
right,
from the announcement in 2012. And I think that's the thing that if I had any sort of fan, like, am I going to like this?
Right.
I just love that it looked like Star Wars, but new. That I would look at, well, when we go through kind of beat by beat, we'll discuss some of those moments for me. But there are designs that were like, that doesn't look like anything I've seen in Star Wars, and yet it looks totally like Star Wars. And I was just over the moon about that, you know? Mm-hmm. And I love not knowing. That has increased the love of.
Right.
Being truly only teased by teaser trailers. This was such a great tease, and I love being teased. I love being like, I don't know who any of these people are.
Right.
And I get to guess. But then the big thing, yes, the Falcon flipping around, that music was just so thrilling. It really was, you know, we've gone through this cycle we've talked a lot about of being original trilogy fans, and it seems like it's really gone. Then there's some books and some video games. Right. And then there's a special edition and the prequels, but it's different.
Right.
And then it was very much like, you know, George Lucas doing the rounds of Revenge of the Sith saying, I did it. I finished Star Wars.
Star Wars is done.
It's over. You know, it's like, okay, here we go again. It's coming back again. And just the power of that music and seeing the Falcon was truly just joyful.
Yeah. And look, There's video out there of me talking about it, both on Schmoes and Jedi Alliance. I did not review it going into this episode. I love doing these kind of, you and I taking these little memory lane walkabouts. I love going with the gut reaction and almost the images and fleeting memories I have versus what I actually said on a show that week. And I just remember all I wanted to focus on was how kind of real it looked. And yeah, it was a little bit of a comparison to the prequels and some of the way that it felt. But I'm with you. It was just like, I didn't know what is so lost. But man, that looked like the Star Wars I played in my backyard. Which you're not saying against the prequels or Clone Wars or anything, but just that, like, okay. And so that was so effective for that. It tapped into that joy.
It did absolutely tap into that joy. So I did want to ask you about, now looking back on it with fresh eyes, now that we've been through years of teaser trailers and, you know, it's such a big part of our lives and our careers to analyze Star Wars and discuss it. When you look back at that trailer with fresh eyes for this episode, is there anything that strikes you differently about the trailer in the big picture?
Only that it just, the old, you can make the old, oh, they were all babies joke, but even for the franchise, oh, we were all babies back then. And I look at the trailer and it does a really good job of just setting up what's coming. There's been an awakening. dark side, light side, fear, hope, all these things that are there. I wasn't necessarily digging into those themes on that day, and maybe even for a while, but it's all there. And I think it does such a good job. It's definitely, Star Wars trailers are celebrated for a reason. I mean, you know, you can get Mark Ellis talk about the Phantom Menace trailer, teaser trailer for hours if you want. and this still holds up for that. That you looking back with fresh eyes, this still works. I still get excited.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it absolutely works. But the thing that really struck me, now that we've had so many years of discussion about the balance of old and new in Star Wars, and the debate of that was the main criticism of The Force Awakens, is it too safe? Is it too much like the original trilogy? This is an era, I think, where the people who grew up with the prequel trilogy were just starting to be loud and proud about it, right? Timeline wise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So going back and looking at it with fresh eyes, there is a line of dialogue from Twin Peaks that I couldn't get out of my head, which is that kind of gum you like is going to come back in style. It is something that is said to Cooper, Agent Cooper, in a dream, and then it gets used as a clue that can be deciphered. But when Twin Peaks came back, both the creators, Mark Frost and David Lynch, that's how they announced it. They tweeted that line, that kind of gum you like is going to come back in style. What I mean by that is, it is so the original trilogy mood, aesthetic, energy, right? And I don't mean this as a criticism. I think that was the goal, and they knocked it out of the galactic park, right?
Yeah.
Just that simplicity of, it is the dark versus the light. It is the Star Wars, it looks like Star Wars, but also it's new, which I always think is a part of Star Wars. But, you know, X-Wings, Stormtroopers, TIE Fighters, the Falcon, some of them looking more revamped than others, and some just like coming back to life. I think that it gives it this overall feeling of, this thing that you thought was gone is not. It is. It, the overwhelming feeling to me just watching this teaser is that the awakening feels like it is about us, the audience, just as much, if not more, than anything going on in the film.
Right. Yeah. And I think it's even the fact that it's, when we say it has like original trilogy vibes, it really does have that New Hope vibes. Sand, Stormtroopers, X-Wings, Millennium Falcon. And I think it worked pulling us in from that angle. And it had to around that time.
Yeah. And just the simplicity of dark versus light, right? I mean, that's kind of the conversation when A New Hope came out, and wasn't even called A New Hope yet. People were saying, this is a breath of fresh air. It's just a nice story about dark versus light. And that gets a little bit more complicated in Empire and Return of the Jedi. But that was still, if you kind of asked a person on the street about the original trilogy, what's it about? It's about, you know, the good guys, the heroes, they beat the bad guys, you know. And then the prequels come out, and like, it's about how all institutions can rot. You know, the prequels are much more complicated.
Yeah.
So even that expression of, it is the bad guys versus the good guys, it's the dark versus the light, it's the hope versus the fear, it's this clear battle of the ages, and it's back, you know?
Yeah. Oh, baby, it was back.
Yeah, very powerful. So looking back to that time, what do you think of this promotion strategy? The fact that it came out a year before the film, and on a holiday weekend where everybody's social media thumbs were open and available, except for the security guards at malls.
That's true. Even then we were. It's crazy. It's kind of bonkers. I think it spoiled us in a way, just to think of, you had a year out. Remember all those things? We still get the where's the trailer talk, which just means we just really want it. But I think part of it is we want to feel something like this again, so far out, and just be ready for it and spend a year talking about it. It's bonkers to me that far ahead. And I think it worked, because it felt like such a fast year, you know.
Yeah.
It was like, boom, it was up and running. You were still breaking down 100 and, you know, something seconds of footage for a year before you got something, the full trailer. So I think it worked. I don't think we'll ever really see that again. I don't think so.
No, I don't. Yeah. I wonder if we we can or if it works or if it'd be wise. But I did just really love that feeling. I think part of what made me have that warm feeling is, you know, obviously there can not everybody celebrates the same holidays and there are things about it that are stressful, like Black Friday at a mall. Joke. But in general, if one can unlock that feeling of holidays of being warm, cozy, not as many of us at work, there was a power to having it come out then of like, this is a cherry on top of, you know, the Sunday of a holiday. So I really like that time period. Maybe that is just because the trailers are coming out at just such odd, weird times of like, it's Tuesday at 2 o'clock. Stop everything you're doing. Huge trailer. And you don't know, you know?
Yeah.
So that coming out at a time where there's some kind of elbow room to digest it was really nice.
Yeah. And there's something to be said for, you know, the news cycle changed fast then, but it's probably even faster now for better or worse. And that this came out and we had that year to breathe. That's what I don't know if we'll see again, you know? If the Ahsoka trailer comes out tomorrow, it's not, they haven't even really shot it, right? But the Ahsoka trailer comes out tomorrow and it's like 2023. We'll be like, what? What are you talking about? It's just not the way it works. And I think a lot of that is just as the speed of social media picked up, even from 2014, it seems like it didn't pick up. It did. It's a different speed now, even then. And it was an old school vibe. Plus, they have to they're claiming that time as Star Wars. We're so used to May and we all remember there was some of that, like it's December. That's not a Star Wars. No movies do big money in December. What are you talking about? So to have them kind of be like, hey, a year from now at this time, when you think of Thanksgiving and Black Friday and family and holidays, you're going to start thinking about Star Wars. I think that worked as well, too.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that's such a great point because I remember at the time of Force Awakens is just about to come out. I was then hosting Jedi Alliance and I remember getting so many questions and comments and saying like, you are all over hyping what this movie is going to do at the box office. Like December movies just don't make that much money. And it was a massive change. Right. And now here we are like this big Spider-Man movie coming out in mid-December. And there's no question that the only question of money would be COVID related, not December related, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I forget the exact, I think one of the Hunger Games movies did okay. That was, and it didn't break 100 million. Right. I was like, every week on Schmoes, we were having those conversations. You're so right. That was a lot of the dialogue.
Yeah. And for the year out, the full year out. Obviously they have Rebels going, right. They've got books coming out, but they're not getting out in front of any other project. And I saw some people reacting, having discussions about social media about, you know, Disney Plus Day of like, well, why weren't there more trailers? And like, well, because Book of Boba Fett is the next thing and we don't want to get in front of ourselves.
Right.
And maybe it is a past time, but maybe not. We'll see. But I did like having like a whole year for just this kind of what became kind of iconic images to live in your head. Right.
Oh, yeah, because I'd be at work on like a Wednesday morning sipping a cup of coffee and going, I'm going to watch it again.
Right. And some of the images from that ended up being, I think, just would have been iconic from the film itself. But some of them are iconic because they're in the teaser trailer.
Oh, yeah. Including, you know, one that's not even in the movie. Right. Which is probably more iconic than even stuffed up in the movie.
Yeah. I remember just being shocked in the film of like that shot's kind of in there, but not exactly. It was amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we have had many, many trailers since then in the modern age. Teasers, half teasers, full knowledge teaser twists. Who knows all the terminology, everything in between with trailers. Where does this land for you? I know you are a fan of the trailers in general. Is this one of the best?
I definitely put it top 10. I think the next one to come out, which is it's true, all of it, and Chewie We're Home, that kind of that whole thing. Chewie We're Home. That's probably just higher on my list a little bit, but this, because it only because you look at this one and it is like, oh, just so simple, you know, just a couple shots from Jakku and all we got. But I think that Falcon moment itself, the circus VO, it still adds up to just a great experience watching it even this morning. It just kind of gets you really amped up for Star Wars overall, just to see that Falcon, just to see those X-Wings coming over the water. It still works. So I'm still putting it top 10.
Yeah, for me, it is definitely top 10. I think it's pretty high up. I think in terms of my just subjective desire of what I want out of a trailer is I want to feel as much enthusiasm as possible with the least amount of information. That's my formula for I love out of a trailer, because I want people to be excited. I want to be excited, but I want the story to be the story. And this is, oh man, it's great, right? Because it knows its job, which is exactly what you said. Just get hyped. Just want to go flying, zipping through the air like the Falcon. That's what we want you to feel. Like, let me on that Falcon. Let me on this ride. It is truly a teaser. The glimpses are so short, and it's even the way it's cut with like kind of it doesn't go right from one scene to the other. It goes all the way to black and then presents you with another snippet. It is almost dreamlike, right? It is not narrative. It's so much room to dream.
And wildly speculate, right? But yeah, it did work. And this one almost works. And again, it's that year lead up time. It is almost a little movie that I watched, not in the sense of a narrative and a through B plot, but just like, this is all the new Star Wars I had. So I watched it. It was dreamlike, because this was worth a movie to me, this minute and a half.
Yeah. And then I think the other thing that makes it great for me just as a trailer, the way it's cut, it has a sense of urgency. Like, that's a choice that you can make with trailers, obviously, but particularly with Star Wars, because some of them like slow down and try to make you feel the emotion of it, or the sweeping grandeur of it, or, you know, the weight of it. And this one does make you feel the weight of it, but it's so much more focused on urgency and thrill, right? This isn't slow down and, you know, really remember how Luke Skywalker made you feel when he looked at the twin sunsets, right? Like, everyone is popping into frame, literally physically moving, igniting a blade, concerned about what's behind them. There's this great, it makes you ask, what's at stake? You watch that teaser, and this is one of the questions that came to my mind back in the day of like, it seems like everybody's upset about stuff, but I don't know what it is. And I want to know, what are you running from? Why are you breathing so heavy? What's going on? What's that ball droid running from? Because it looks really urgent.
It works so well. There's this everyone running from what appears to be darkness, and then the Falcon. It's not the dark side and the light. And here's Han, Luke, and Leia. It's like it's the Falcon, the thing that spirits you around the galaxy, creating hope as it goes, running into fears as it goes. I love the use of that. And it's almost funny because it's like, you know, you're piecing together these shots. Like you said, they're literally afraid of what's going on, what's behind them, what's chasing them. And that's just such an energy versus the things that come. And I love the trailers that come after, not just with Force Awakens. You touched upon it, but they all have that. They take the music. They all have that around the time it says this December, right? Every time it would say this December, it was like, dun, 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 and you're thinking, yeah, you're crying because you're seven again. And but this does not have that. It is just go, 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 dark side in the light. Love that.
Has the main theme. It has the adventure serial. It has let's go on an adventure, you know?
Yeah.
Don't listen to your uncle. Go see Star Wars.
Star Wars.
Did you have any speculation based on this trailer that was wildly correct or wildly incorrect that you remember?
This is where I was tempted to go. I struggle with going to watch old videos and shows that I was on. I can't go back, but I was tempted because I want to see, was there anything? And there probably was. I was a Plagueis staffer, you know. I was in that church for a while, just because, you know, why wouldn't you be? You see what's on there, what's going on, you're asking those questions. I think I had a bigger, whatever circus was playing. I can't remember when we learned he was a creature called Snoke yet. I can't remember that. It was just circus. I think I had more thoughts that he was going to be more involved, probably more wild theories about that.
That makes a ton of sense. Did you get into a lot of speculation about who is whose kid?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think you could piece together pretty early on Finn, or who we know would come to know as Finn, was probably going to be a stormtrooper that didn't stick around, you know, like that. I remember that one being kind of a prediction a lot of folks got right before even like Larry Kasdan said something about it.
Right. Because there, you watch it and there's just that question of like, you know, it's not, you know, uncommon to see a rebel wearing stormtrooper armor. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
With the helmet off. So, you know, is that an agent who's crashed after a raid or is that a stormtrooper? Yeah.
Yeah. And by the second teaser, you could start to put together like, oh, I remember you thinking, oh, so he escapes in a TIE fighter and crashes. Like So that was where it was. But yeah, absolutely. The man we would know as Kylo Ren, I think I wasn't certain on, but yeah, Rey, I mean, I probably broke down every frame of that thing just to be like, well, her cheekbones look like Padme. It's like, yeah, absolutely. I was on board for all those theories. And why wouldn't you be? Why wouldn't you be watching?
Yeah, absolutely. Anakin's clone, obvious from the cheekbones.
Clearly.
Yeah,
clearly.
Clearly. Yeah, I think I remember thinking about it because, you know, I didn't feel a need to pontificate on that, you know, at the time. I think just I remember just being excited about the possibilities and wondering, like, I had not followed the EU closely, but I knew, you know, of Solo children turning to the dark side or Solo child rather. So being curious of like, is that the cloaked figure? What's going on with that? How, you know, obviously I didn't think that they are going to follow the exact story and new Jedi Order and Chewie's going to get killed by a moon. But I was like, in terms of like, well, what could happen? I was curious about that, but wasn't like really like I'm staking money on it, you know?
Yeah.
My biggest speculation that I feel has panned out to be relatively correct is that BB-8 was going to be a big star.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, a lot of conversation about BB-8. Again, I still think that was a great choice to feature. Yeah. BB-8, the big star. So there you go. You're right. You're right on it.
Yeah. Nailed it. Absolutely. Going to Vegas later today.
I mean, he was on a bag of oranges. Biggest star in the world.
Yep. Yep. And where's BB-8 now? He's coming back. He's coming back in a big way, I'm sure. Anyway, that's our kind of big picture look. We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to just break down this very, very short teaser trailer and see how long we take to do it. We'll be back in a moment.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And we are back to continue our discussion of the Force Awakens teaser trailer from the faraway time of November 2014. So, Ken, Force Center did not yet exist in November of 2014 to do a breakdown, but we're going to now for fun. This entire thing is about 1 minute and 20 seconds of actual content. Going to describe each piece and we'll discuss a little bit. So, the trailer starts with a slow fade-in of a large sand dune. A light, mysterious chord plays. Then an unknown, growling voice says, "There has been an awakening. Have you felt it?" Then, with a tense boom, a sweating, agitated person in stormtrooper armor pops up into the frame. He turns and looks around as probe droid sound effects play in the background.
Right.
So, that's a lot. I just want to ask a big picture question. This kind of whole intro package of the first sounds, the first lines, the first character, was this effective for you? And what did you feel like was the goal of this opening? And did it work on you?
It was very effective because I was so excited we were going back to Tatooine. Just so excited because Star Wars needs to be on Tatooine, I thought. It absolutely was effective because it was truly awakening. I think that's still one of the great lines to start any Star Wars trailer. It's been awakened if you felt it, because it's like I'm in my office chair going, I'm absolutely feeling it now. even in terms of the story and this wake up that's happening across the galaxy, and you're seeing a stormtrooper or someone in a stormtrooper costume who does not look in control, that immediately I remember the conversations about just the gear, the look of the gear. Is he an Imperial stormtrooper? Or is it just, what is this? Who is this? We don't know about the First Order yet. We're still a long time away from months away from learning about the First Order at Star Wars Celebration. So a lot of speculation about that. So it was very effective just for being a familiar Star Wars setting, a familiar Star Wars costume, but completely just something so new. I didn't know what was happening.
Yeah. I think for me, "There has been an awakening. Have you felt it?" is an all-time trailer line. It's a kind of a perfect Star Wars line for me because it sounds deep and mysterious and mythic, of like an awakening. And the way it's said, like, everybody knows what an awakening is, right?
Yeah.
But what is it exactly? It's almost comic, right? Of "There has been an awakening. Have you felt it?"
Yeah.
You know, plenty of people made the joke of like, "Oh, the Star Wars alarm clock went off," you know, for years. So it's got depth and mystery, but also like a sense of fun to it. So I feel like that line is so powerful. I do think it works very well in the story of the movie, that this is about a new generation coming into this fight and literally awakening all of the old things they come in contact with, from the Falcon to Han to R2 to the question of, is Luke going to awaken at the end? Like, I feel like it is totally earned within the story, but it is also so much just about the fandom, right? Of that gum you like is going to come back in style. Have you felt it? You know, is so powerful to me. And I think that was obviously the goal. And it was so effective in this shot. And then on top of it, this great mix of you're sitting down, you are watching this new Star Wars, and you're asking yourself as a viewer, what's going to happen? And the great tease of very slowly just looking at a sand dune.
It's slow. Yeah, for a while. It lingers.
And wondering where, what's going to happen, right? And maybe by trailer language, you kind of think that like maybe a ship is going to come slowly down from the top, right?
Oh, totally. Yeah. Like the Naboo, the droid tanks coming over the hill.
Yeah, right. Yeah, coming over the dune or you know, a ship slowly landing. So the fact that this urgent, frightened person pops up, it's so well done where you're asking, what's going to happen in this new Star Wars? I don't know, but it's going to be really engaging and surprising, right? Yeah. And then the fact that it is right away, great mix of old and new, right? It's the dune is totally familiar. That's Star Wars, right? The sounds are familiar. That's Star Wars. Is that Stormtrooper armor? Yes, but no. And then who is this guy? Who is he connected to anyone we know? Is he a rebel in disguise? Is he a new Imperial type? What happened that our friends just let the Empire come back? Like all of those questions are baked into that image.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And a powerful choice to lead with Boyega. And as you're talking, I'm going back to literally the second before I'm staring at the sand dunes. And it's like, I wish I could go back and tell myself everything's about to change for you as a Star Wars fan. The moment this next character pops up, a whole new era is beginning. Because you had no idea. Ship, whatever. I didn't think anyone was going to pop up. That's a great moment. It lingers just enough to have your entire lifetime of Star Wars fandom squeezed into that moment.
Yeah, exactly. So familiar, yet so different. What's going on with this maybe Stormtrooper? So back in the day, it sounds like you were very well aware that's Andy Serkis. But did you have any sort of opinion on the character that was talking?
No, I mean, again, I'm stopping myself of going to actually just hear the dumb words I probably said back then. It wasn't too far off what we got with Snoke in The Force Awakens. I might have been expecting more. I think the Last Jedi Snoke, I wouldn't have been like, he's going to be in a gold cloak. And definitely wouldn't have thought too much about the Palpatine kind of connection later on. But a Sith Lord like dark side user just made sense. Everything about Serkis's read, who he was talking to, I might have wasn't necessarily thinking it was the broad sword saber holding dude. It might have been anybody. You know, it could have been Palpatine. I don't know. But I saw him in that kind of shadowy dark robe wearing villain.
Yeah, I think I was the same way. I'm trying to think back. I think I just was. I was probably more intrigued of like, who is he talking to?
Yeah.
What is he talking about? You know, what exactly does an awakening mean? You know, I was very interested in Force lore and Force theory. Like, does he have a holocron?
Right.
You know, what is an awakening and who is awakening? I was really intrigued by that. But I didn't spend a lot of time wildly speculating, right? I thought that the person that was talking was a scary jerk.
Yeah.
And I didn't give it honestly back then. I didn't like, I think if I was really thinking, I would have been like, is he an Imperial dignitary? Is this Simalu or Janus Grijadis?
Yeah.
Or just, you know, as he came to be another dark side user, you know, but all I cared about then, scary jerk.
And look, I'm going to like, I'm trying to go back to that weekend and that week and that, you know, a little bit later on, more analysis coming in, and then, you know, is he Plagueis? Is that Plagueis' staff? It's a joke we make here, but that was, you know, it wasn't too unreasonable to make that kind of leap to a theory like that based on more things starting to come out. But going back to that weekend, yeah, I'm with you. Dark robe jerk.
Yeah, whoever he's talking to, he's probably happy that the dark side is rising, but not so much with the light. The light's probably a pain in his ass. Speaking of that, we get a quick cut to black, and then we get a series of moving images with no specific context. First up, the world's first glimpse of BB-8, just a little bald droid hauling ass. So did you think he was a main character? Did you think, I just saw the new R2-D2, or did you just think he's like Gonk droid level important? He just looks cool, and so he's in the trailer.
That's a great question. I think I was onto it being the one of the main droids. It just made sense, and it was such a good choice. I know we've talked about this many times over the years, but just like, it had that practical look, even though we know BB-8 wasn't as practical all the time as they were selling us on. But there's a lot of practical things to that little droid. And just from the color scheme, his head, so to speak, which looked like an astromech droid, it pulled me in right away. It's still one of the great decisions to be like, boom, right away, you're getting this new droid. You're going to see it here in this trailer. And I don't remember asking too much about, well, where's R2 and 3PO? Because we didn't see much, and we only saw the new characters. So I think I was following that vibe and right there with it. It just was so good. The sound, because, you know, the fade to black's key, and it come up and just like that rolling kind of beep and panic droid sound was really classic Star Wars.
It was classic Star Wars, yet so different. This is definitely like one of my favorite Star Wars memories, just burned into my mind. I thought that what this droid was doing in that moment was saving Star Wars.
Yeah.
I was so affected by BB-8 because, look, there has been an awakening. Have you felt it? That kind of that weight, the mystery, a stormtrooper, that all felt like the serious part of Star Wars I liked. And then this little droid has got that urgency of like, that droid seems to need to get out of wherever that droid's running, right? Hauling as fast as he can. And I don't think he's like playing a fun sport at a park.
No.
He's got a problem, right? It's got this urgency. But the biggest thing for me was he was aesthetically everything I dream of Star Wars, of like,
yes,
you look like you fit exactly into the world of Star Wars, like with that astromech head, with those sounds, with that just utter charm, the way that R2 is like big block of metal, but you want to hug him. And it had this little ball droid had recreated that while being totally new. And to just remember how new that was, because now that's we've seen, you know, CB-23 and 2BB-2 and BB-9E, and, you know, we're used to it now. It's a design. It's right. What if a droid is nothing but a head and a ball? Was so bonkers and so new, but so perfectly Star Wars that I was just like, yeah, old and new, perfect, great. Thank you, little ball thing.
Well, and I mentioned the color scheme because it's a real New Hopey color scheme even to me. What's going on with him? That orange. You think of oranges, but you think of BB-8 now. Yeah, you really do. Orange stands out, but it had a little blue. It had a little. It felt like he was rolling around again, Tatooine for me.
Yeah, that's a very good point. Between the sand dunes and the rebel flight suits, you know, New Hope is shilling for orange.
Yeah, it is
as a color, and you know, a lot of the merch had that color back in the day. So that is something that evoked it too. And then I think that this shot sticks with me too, because I had that emotional reaction. My wife did, and then seeing the number of people online, you know, that just didn't know this character's name, didn't know if this character was in one shot, is like, is he like Pwn to Baba level? Is he just like, we see a bunch of droids run and then this is one shot, you know, to see the world charmed by him in a, this is such a weird phrase to get to use, in a proto Grogu way.
Yes.
Of people being charmed by how cute this was. And I remember one of my friends being like, I don't know what your name, I don't know your story, but I will do anything to help you. Of just that fun of being utterly charmed by something.
Yeah, immediately. Superstar.
Superstar. Little ball superstar. Yeah. So that's a huge one for me. So then we move on. We get a flash of the slick, shiny new stormtroopers all lined up under flashing lights. We see a glimpse of their blasters, their armored faces, and their armored feet as a ramp opens. What was your reaction to this shot? Did you really notice how different they looked as stormtroopers? Did you like it? Where do you go?
I love this sequence of shots, the stormtrooper stuff. I still do love the helmet design. I think it's a great reworking of something that's classic. And this will come up again, I think, when talking about the X-Wings. But I know I definitely remember being really big on this sequence, Joseph, because it just seemed like Star Wars in a modern era of filmmaking. which is not, again, I mentioned the prequels, but I'm not here to fully attack them. But they, you know, they looked of their time. George was trying these things. You know, it was shot on blue screen. It has a look that doesn't necessarily always stand up, even though I like what they accomplished with the tech there in the prequel era. But that, you know, we got Star Trek 2009, Abrams Star Trek's in my head. I remember watching Abrams Star Trek and going, man, I kind of wish Star Wars could get this treatment of let's make these movies during a modern time. And this Stormtrooper sequence immediately checked that box for me. I was like, yeah. It looked like, oh my gosh, we actually have Stormtroopers. So I almost wasn't concerned about, are they like slightly different? What are they? Is the Empire? I just like, that is, we're going to get some great, great action, and it's going to look so real and lived in. Not unlike the original trilogy, but now even just more modern with better technology, better cameras, better costumes, all those kind of things that we'd already been experiencing with Dark Knight and MCU stuff by this point. Star Wars was going to get that, and this shot made me think that.
Yeah, oh, wow. I really like hearing that reaction, because I don't think I thought about it in exactly that way, but I think I kind of felt it the same way,
mm-hmm.
That I liked that they were different. So it was Stormtroopers, but, you know, not just exactly as they had looked. I think I just really liked the style of the shots, because it looked to me like what the story of the Stormtroopers are, is these, you know, faceless soldiers of an authoritarian horror, right?
Yeah.
The face of galactic fascism, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the way they looked, like they were all lined up emotionless on their way to do some violence somewhere to someone. And the way it went from there, the shaking, you know, images in the dark, so you can't quite tell what's going on. The lights are going in and out. You just see the expressionless faces. Then you see the blasters, and then you see their feet, and they're on their way somewhere. You know,
yeah.
It added up to give this picture of, this is what the Stormtroopers are. You know, mm-hmm. A little bit of attachment, honestly, to like the shots of the clones toward the end of Attack of the Clones.
Yes.
It's really emphasizing the tragedy of a society having this kind of militarization, this emotionless, rigid militarization.
Yeah.
And I liked how much it was evoking that. It looked like Stormtroopers. It looked like how Stormtroopers made me feel.
Yeah. And that's a great way to put it. And I was really intrigued by what looked like them in a drop ship kind of vibe. You immediately kind of picked it up, which it was not unlike, again, Clone Wars. That's a great pull. And I was oddly excited, and not excited for fascism to take over the galaxy, but just like, what? But when they open that door, what's going to happen? Now we know later on it's a two and all village, and you know it's almost a smaller sequence compared to probably what I was dreaming about. But it doesn't matter, and it'd be in the days and weeks after that I would do the look at it and be like, I think there is a shorter one that might be Boyega. You know, I remember getting lost in those weeds.
Hmm.
But going to this weekend, I wasn't worried about that. I was worried about, there you go. This Star Wars is now in the modern era, and I'm so excited.
Yeah, absolutely. So then we get the camera zooming towards a young woman in desert survival gear. She starts up an old-looking junkie speeder and blasts away across the sand. What are your thoughts on this shot in general? And I also want to ask you if you spent time wondering who she might be related to even then.
Yeah, the answer is too much time, right? Love this. We'd remember back then, and I've seen some people tweet it out, and it's hilarious. I laugh every time. Of remember when this was the only shot we had of Daisy Ridley, and it was like her headshot from like her first session of headshots, and it was like the only thing we knew, you know. This was such a, we just did not know what to expect with this performer, so I was intrigued by that, and yeah, absolutely. And I've got it frozen here on YouTube while we're talking, and you know, the staff is front and center, and I can't deny that I've spent too many times on podcasts and shows wondering about that staff, which just happened to look like a toy I had. but again, in 2014, why wouldn't you look at it and be like, who is this? What is that weapon? Is that a lightsaber? Could there be a lightsaber in it? And who is it? And we know, we knew she was going to be in the position of being one of our new heroes in the story. So why wouldn't you, under that setting, this almost looks like she hung out with Luke on Tatooine.
Yeah, right, right. Yeah, and you had answered earlier when we were talking in general that you did do some cheekbone analysis. So you did, you were already analyzing. Did you have a thought that she's got to be related to someone, or were you really going back and forth? Like, is she Luke's kid? Is she Han and Leia's kid? Is there a possibility she's not related to anyone?
Someone would have to remind me who actually remembers the clips. I think I was most in 2014 and 20 going into 2015 more on that's gotta be, I mean, capital G gotta be Luke's kid.
Okay. Nice. Nice. And were you happy about that? Were you interested?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I knew I didn't, you know, even then had that contentious relationship with the EU. Didn't want to follow the Solo twins as much as other people did. I'll respect to those that do. I understood it could be the possibility, you know, that very much we just didn't know with it. There wasn't a ton of people coming out going, Joe, no, JJ's never read Heir to the Empire. Like, we didn't know. Maybe he was. So all that, but yeah, no, I early on very happy with this person here being one of our heroes. It just made sense because it just evokes again Luke, but the hero's journey beginning.
Yeah, no, I think that's a really, really great point. This shot, along with BB-8, I think is one of the other ones that affected me the most because I just loved that speeder. It feels weird now to be like, yes, no, I know it's being introduced to one of the main actors, one of the main characters. But I think at that time I really had that like, great, well, wait and I'll see the story and they'll tell me. So my focus was on the speeder. I loved the urgency. I loved that it continued that like, is she running from the same thing or a different thing than the ball droid? So that look behind her, like, I got to get out of here now. And the speed at which that speeder took off. But more than anything, that design that has remained one of my favorite designs of a vehicle in Star Wars. This was one of those other shots, much like BB-8, where I felt like that looks totally like Star Wars, like something from A New Hope with like the color and the lived in. And like, it looks like it could break down or be faster than anything else. But it was also like that weird shape I have not seen in Star Wars. The fact that it looks like, you know, this giant weird metal popsicle.
Yeah.
It hit that combination of what I was craving of. I did want some of that original trilogy flair, some of that lived in look. But I also wanted things to look as alien and weird to me as they did when I was a little kid, and this speeder did.
Yeah, it's without a doubt, it makes you think of Luke's land speeder by color and almost design as if it was a land speeder on its side, right?
Yeah.
It did look like a pudding pop or an ice cream bar, and I kind of like that. I know it right away spoke of just simplicity, that whoever this person is has kind of a little bit of a beat down simple life, which is where you would probably expect your Star Wars heroes to start.
Yeah. It's playing with the language of Star Wars so well. Cause yeah, it does kind of look like a single seat land speeder, but it also definitely looked like a speeder bike of some kind. But then you go like, but I thought speeder bikes and even swoop bikes are stripped down. All their workings exposed. They're very thin. Like, whoa, this is like somehow a motorcycle that is also a truck.
A motor truck. I've got the next freeze at the 42nd mark is where you notice that all the junk that's on the side in the previous shot is gone. So what was that? A VFX problem or just a clue?
Well, I hope somebody lost their job for that. I say jokingly. Absolutely joking. So yeah, love this. Love the energy. I did not give a ton of thought to who is she related to. I had my big pop of that when I found a Rey action figure, which were hard to find back then. And I remember looking at that action figure, looking at a mold of an action figure and something deep inside me going, she's a Skywalker. I had that reaction more to an action figure. It probably says more about me and my relationship to action figures than anything else. So moving on, we next get a shot of Oscar Isaac in a cockpit, a rebel insignia on his head. It's again, familiar, but different. And then X-Wings buzzing a lake. Has this shot in the trailer and in the movie held up for you? Is this an iconic shot?
It is choose my words carefully. It's still better for me in the trailer than the movie.
Okay.
Love it in the movie. Love the scene. Love the sequence. Takadana. But this is where, like, I often say the Phantom Menace trailer, I go back and sometimes go, you know, whatever that movie was, I still would like to see that version of it. Like, it just, you know, it cuts up, like all trailers, it cuts up the plot and you just, your mind starts going to what you think the movie's about and the challenges to engage with the movie that comes out. But that sequence had like end of the movie vibes to me. And we do get X-Wings at the end of the movie, but you know what I mean? Like, so sometimes I remember distinctly remember a year later in the theater, the first time when this happens and I'm like, oh, it's only like halfway through the movie. Oh, okay. Okay. I was let down because I just love the sequence and I've got it frozen here on my screen right now. And that shot that was so many clipped out screenshot thumbnail images of Isaac sitting there in the cockpit and us analyzing every inch of his, well, I guess it's still kind of the Rebels. It's still the red, it's still, but he's got a black helmet, which I love. And then just the shot of them over the water, going back to what I was saying of, it's Star Wars in a modern era. And one of my favorite things that will eventually emerge from Force Awakens is the realistic shots that are almost like wing point of view of the X-Wings over Takadana and then later on in on Starkiller Base. It's some of my favorite things about Force Awakens. And it was on display here. Them going over water was something that we hadn't seen before, but it looked like I was watching a normal war picture or something like that, you know, like Brad Pitt's in a tank chasing these things. It just looks so real to me. I love that scene. I love this sequence.
Yeah. I love the shot of Oscar Isaac and seeing like, okay, well the rebellion insignia is there and it is that great aesthetic, but it is different. It is new. But the X-Wing's buzzing the lake. I think, you know, growing up with the original trilogy, the X-Wings were huge for me, and you only saw them do so many things in so many places in the movies, right? But then you read books, or I loved those Rogue Squadron video games. Mm. And for me, it was sort of like, you know, you get to do lots of different things and lots of different environments in an X-Wing. And there was a little bit of like that, my video game fantasies, yeah. The kind of things I do in video games are going to be on the big screen. X-Wings buzzing a lake. The quality of the shot is great. It's a great shot. But I think for me, some of it was that, like, this is why I want to go back to Star Wars, because I want to see all of the things that I know and like, but I want to see them in new and different contexts that I've only been able to fantasize about before.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. This was a little to go back to the backyard. With your X-Wing in hand. And again, I'm trying to go back to this weekend. This trailer was out and I watched it time and time again, where, you know, later on the speculation, we're looking at, oh, the wings are a little different. It's a newer type of X-Wing. Didn't matter. That was the X-Wing of my youth. And it was on the screen. It was above a lake, which clearly had to have been Naboo or Yavin.
Absolutely. There are no other lakes in Star Wars. Yeah, I think the actual flavor of the shot, too, which got me excited, not just from the, like, it's X-Wings in a totally different context. There's a kind of a hero shall arrive vibe, which is maybe where you got the feeling of this is third act, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But for me, like, I think I've mentioned this before. There's a Teen Titans comic book that's literally called There Shall Come a Titan, when most of the Teen Titans team has fallen. And a couple of Titans show up and like, we're not done yet. And I recently rewatched, this is so, so dumb and weird, but I recently rewatched the first episode of Cheers when Rebecca has come on as a main character.
Mm.
Sam has sold the bar and he's just trying to get back as a bartender. And they make a bet that the current bartender knows every cocktail ever. So they get all of the regulars at Cheers to come back and order a made up drink, and they come from all sides ordering this weird drink. And it's this, I remember as a kid getting this weird tingly sensation. And it is a specific and a hero shall rise vibe that I love, of like, it looks like all is lost, but wait, who's that ordering a drink?
Yeah, like from Glory. If this man shall fall, who shall pick up the flag?
Yeah. Cliff Clavin, I guess. But this shot had that vibe to me of the way they were buzzing in, like,
Yeah.
We are here to save the bleeping day.
And it's, you know, it, the vibe is rebellion. We might have been like, oh, New Republic, and but like it just had rebellion coming in to save other rebels. And absolutely. And Oscar Isaac, man, he's great in the cockpit. All right. I know Rise of Skywalker. Some people I've heard criticisms nuts to that. He's great in X-Wing.
Great cockpit acting. Yes. And then this weekend when I was out of town by the ocean, I saw a bunch of birds buzz a lake and it made me think of this shot. So there you go. So then there's another cut to black and a mysterious hooded figure in black stomps through a dark, snowy forest. The voice, which has been quiet for a little while, now says the dark side. And the figure ignites a shaky red blade and two smaller side blades or crossguard or quillions or any number of description that people will be happy to share with you to this day. Did you think this was cool, or did you have an internal or external debate about this crazy lightsaber?
So I thought it was cool. I had questions. I tempted to see what and listen to what I actually said during this time, but that was cool. Also, it's 2014. I'm still a big Game of Thrones fan. I still talk about it every week on a podcast, but in 2014, that's all I thought about sometimes. So the fact that I had a lightsaber that kind of looked like Jon Snow could grab it. I was extra happy to see that, you know, and just speculation. It's also interesting as you and I are talking, I am I'm sure you're doing it as well, but I'm freeze framing through the trailer, right? Just clicking over. If you scroll over this part of the trailer, which is the 53, 54 second and 55 second mark, there is a little note that says most viewed. This is the most viewed really? Shot of the trailer.
Wow. I'm not surprised by that at all.
I'm scanning through it. And this is all of a sudden it pops up 54 seconds. There's a little note that says most viewed.
That does not surprise me in the slightest. I remember it as maybe more of my comedy friends were into BB-8, but this is the one I remember really driving the debate and the discussion.
Oh, yeah.
So you just thought it was cool. You thought that maybe that's that. What is it? Oathkeeper? Is that one of the names of the swords in?
That's Oathkeeper. Yeah. Ice, Longclaw, name a sword other than Widow's Wail. And I'll tell you, it's great. I'm not saying that within a couple days or a couple episodes, I might have been having that debate of what is it and how does this work in Star Wars. Yeah, I'm sure I did. But come on. Dark side user, red blade. You know, I was there for the Maul reveal, you know, so were you. I was there. This was something I needed.
Yeah, this is the one where I think I have grown and changed the most. Because I think, you know, I was thrilled to see a red lightsaber. I was very curious about who this mysterious figure was. But I got all caught up in, is the blade cool or not? Did it work or not? I think I was torn. I feel like I liked it. But I also felt like it was trying to one up the impact of Darth Maul's double blade in The Phantom Menace.
Yeah. Okay.
And I think I was having the bias of somebody who had, you know, I often have had the bias of somebody who grew up with the original trilogy. But then in that moment, I had the bias of somebody whose mind was blown by a truly different lightsaber when that Phantom Menace trailer came out. Right.
Yeah.
And so I felt like, I think to me, it felt at the time, and I'll preface this with, I no longer feel this way. It felt at the time like almost a joke version, right? Because Maul brings up his blade and then from both sides, huge, right? And this is like, oh, it's from both sides, but it's so small. Look at those wee little blades. Am I supposed to be frightened of those wee little blades? You know, and it was, you know, it was a different time for me as a fan. It was a different time for Twitter. I think I tweeted some jokes and I got a lot of very angry sword splaining responses about that. And then I made a joke about getting the sword splaining responses, which Neil Gaiman retweeted. And then I got a lot more sword splaining responses. And it was one of the first times like, oh, I stepped in it. I was trying to make a Star Wars joke and I stepped in something, and I have made long-term sword fans extremely angry. And I have a bit in one of my comedy albums about it, because I did stand up about it, about not being sure about this lightsaber and how angry it made people that I wasn't sure about this lightsaber. So for me, it's a real connection to this moment, because there was, you know, in my own personal life, from my comedy to my Twitter feed, a lot of fallout from it. I think the thing that's really fun to reflect now after all these years, Ken, and having a different attitude toward talking about Star Wars and processing Star Wars, is I go to this shot when I'm putting together our notes, right? And I'm thinking, like, what should we talk about? Obviously, we'll talk in general about, you know, do we like the shot? What did we think back then? And I'm realizing how little I thought about everything else in the shot, because I was hyper-focused on what I wasn't sure about. It's exactly, you know, what we talk about with Qui-Gon, of your focus determines your reality. When I saw this, I had those negative feelings of, is it just trying and failing to recreate the magic of Maul's blade in the Phantom Menace trailer? I was focused on the negative, and because of that, I didn't look at, like, all the things I love now, because I see this shot now, and I'm like, but that dark, snowy forest, like, he's just, like, he is, there's a Star Wars character just marching through German folklore in this shot. It's so cool. It's like, who's he going to attack? The Brothers Grimm? Like, it's so cool. And I love it. I love it to death. The aesthetic of it. Mm-hmm. The Adam Driver's choice, or whoever suggested that he do the Kylo Ren stomp when he ignites that blade, is one of my favorite physical acting things in Star Wars. Yeah. There's so much that I watch this now and say I'm in love with. And the honesty is, I didn't focus on any of that because I was focused on the negative.
Oh, this should be an art piece hanging in your living room. It's a beautiful shot. No wonder it's 25 million plus views on this trailer as of today. And this is, no wonder it's the most viewed. It's just beautiful. It's beautiful. How much, and I look, I love, I'll, you know, joking here, you and I both have grown as Star Wars fans, but I've, you know, had some big growth from 2014 to 2021, where I know you, themes and stuff have always been just something that you've been interested in and out of Star Wars. How much does this moment, how much is it, just the way they did the reveal? That beat between the blade ignites and then the crossguard ignites, was that beat the thing that brought you down? You couldn't separate it from the Maul?
I think maybe the beat is certainly like a reveal, like in, you know, there's going to be more, but for this section of the trailer, it feels like the, you know, if you're not watching the time code, you could feel like, is that the big finish?
Right.
Here's where I think the disconnect was for me, and the way I would look at this now is I had a disconnect between waiting to hear the story and just being concerned about behind the scenes.
Right. Right.
In particular, I love Kylo's shaky blade. I love the energy shooting out, because regardless of it, the sword logic, which I understand there's much of, and I've learned a lot about swords in these years. But that it storytelling wise, I love it and would never question it now, because it fits Kylo's character. It's telling us so much about him that his blade doesn't quite work right, and it's shooting energy out of the sides. Like, I know there's practical, it's a design, and there's practical reasons for it, but in terms of Kylo Ren, it's also a part of the storytelling of, like, unstable blades are bursting out three different places because I'm not holding myself together, right?
Right.
That's the story. That's what's helped. It helps the visual storytelling. That's what we're being told. We're being told a part of who Kylo Ren is by this blade. But I didn't have the patience to wait for that. And instead, I made guesses about what the creators were trying to do. I made the guess that they were trying to manipulate me by saying, I know you Star Wars fans need a new lightsaber and everything. So here you go. Yeah, they're trying to market it because it's something new and different. They're trying to show us something cool and new and different, but there's a reason for it being there. Yeah. It isn't just empty manipulation. And I didn't have the patience back then or the perspective to focus on the story rather than wildly guess at the creator's intentions.
I mean, it's great marketing. You hear that sound? That is my Kylo Ren lightsaber. It's great marketing.
Yeah, I have like at a minimum of 10 of these lightsabers in my home right now because I have that many Kylo Ren action figures, you know?
All right. I think that's actually a huge growth point, that patience thing and seeing what's there. And I think it's a big thing that fuels a lot of Force Center conversations, this engagement with what's there and all that kind of stuff. But it's a challenge of us viewers, especially if you don't get to binge it all in one weekend. I just had a conversation with Grace this week, and there's a show that's out that's a returning show that she's a big fan of. And three episodes in, she's like, I don't really like it. I'm like, why? She's like, I just don't know where they're going. I'm like, well, we're going to find out. Let's find out.
Yeah.
Give it away. Give it, you know, if you know, it doesn't connect, but we're going to find out where they're going. They got 8 episodes or 10 episodes to tell us. So that this is to see and have you call that out is kind of like an early moment for you to be like, all right, here we go. I'm not waiting. I'm not allowing myself to wait. I'm leaping to huge conclusions based off this one 55 seconds into this trailer.
Yeah, exactly. And that, I just think that's a big thing for me of like, yeah, it is marketing. That's the whole point.
Yeah,
and if
yeah.
they don't get people hyped, we won't spend money and then the film will fail. And then we'll all spend a bunch of time talking about why the film failed. Marketing is real. Yeah. It is needed. But I think you can let yourself just fall into the cynicism of that, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's what happened for me is there is a storytelling reason for this lightsaber. And mm-hmm. this was one of my teaching moments, just like, wait for the story because Star Wars, Disney's a giant corporation that is trying to make money. They market things, but they're creators who care who are making this. And there's almost always a storytelling reason if you give it time.
I was very cynical about some of the beats in some of the Rogue One trailers where I was just really, I didn't like the way it was cut together. And maybe, I don't know, the acting seemed off to me and everything. And now it's around the stuff around Jen and rebellions are built on hope. That whole, you know, and her big speech before they hit the beach of Scarif. And as you and I just discussed this past weekend on Star Wars Ranked, it's some of my favorite stuff now because it was just too easy to let that cynicism flood into my Star Wars loving heart.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, I engage in some cynicism, but I also have fond memories, even though it was a explosive time on Twitter for me. I still have fond memories because it was just a debate, right? About, do you like that lightsaber? Yeah. No. So many fond memories and good life lessons from this one shot, which I now love with all my heart, especially since it's only in the trailer, right? It's a similar shot, but it's not the stomp and ignite, which I just love.
I do love that stomp.
Yeah. All right. Moving on from the stomp as we head toward the end of this teaser trailer, there is another cut to black and the voice continues, having said the dark side, and the voice says, end the light. There is a slight beat. Then the Falcon roars into the sky with the Star Wars theme blaring. It does a flip. 2 TIE fighters buzz the old Corellian freighter and we cut to the Star Wars logo and the words, "The Force Awakens," slowly appear in between Star and Wars, and finally the words December 2015 appear on the screen. So, Ken, what for you was the power of this big finish? What was the impact of seeing the Falcon back in action and that main blaring here we go music?
It was everything. It's everything. It's the heart of this trailer for me. Like I said, it wasn't going to say, hey, here's Han, Luke, and Leia, and Chewie, and everyone you know yet. It's like, here's the ship, and that's kind of all you need and what it represents. And even then, it was very easy to say, hey, this represents all these things in Star Wars. It is hope moving forward in a lot of ways. It's the ship that saves the day so many times. So it worked for me on that level. I that beat, that's the greatest pause. Semisonic, the bandmates talk about what they call the Bob Rock pause. I may have mentioned it here on the show before because occasionally we talk about music, but Bob Rock is a music producer and he puts in right before a chorus at one point in the song, there's a pause. And then when that chorus hits, it's even more catchy than it was before. Like it's a tactic, and closing time is an example of that. This is a Bob Rock pause to me. That is this the dark side and the light and the words are just, you know, circus is chewing those words up. And then boom, that explosion. I didn't cry. I wasn't in I was in the office, a lot of things going on, but like it might have been a Ned Flanders scream for me. It was that powerful because it was everything. It's everything, man.
Yeah, I think it did just blow away. It clearly went on in a minute and 20 seconds on an emotional ride here, you know, on Black Friday with my wife of, an awakening. Oh, it's back. What's going on? There's so much urgency. That droid is so amazing. Oh, that speeder is so amazing. Lightsaber. And then this erased any of that, right? It was just the fulfillment of the line. There has been an awakening, right?
Right.
It was ultimately like a fantasy coming true because again, like if you grew up with the original trilogy and then, you know, the special editions come out and there's a lot of squabbling and fighting about that. And then Star Wars takes this shift into the prequels where it is a really different aesthetic. Mm. And then that wraps up and Lucas himself is like, yeah, no, I did it. That's a wrap on Star Wars. I guess we'll do the Clone Wars, you know?
Yeah.
But you're solidly in that other world.
Yeah.
That, you know, expanded palette of the prequels, which I loved part of and came to love, but the Falcon, right? I mean,
yeah.
The Falcon is Star Wars and with that main theme. And I definitely didn't think about it at the time, but now really watching it with that mindset of, you know, what part of Star Wars are you emphasizing? Are you emphasizing like they do in later parts and later trailers, the Force and family and connection. And this is just adventure serial, right? There's urgency and there's dark side and light side fighting and the Falcon's back. And there's just this blast of heroic music. It was an awakening.
Yeah, absolutely was. Absolutely. Yeah. And didn't, and even, you know, the reveal of the Falcon in Force Awakens with the garbage will do. I mean, you and I talked about the power of that moment. Even knowing that the Falcon was coming, that moment caught me off guard and it worked all over again. It's just, you know, the Falcon pops up and I get excited. I guess. I'm like Han and Solo when he sees it for the first time. Wow. Get me on board.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it also, much like the X-Wings buzzing the lake, it was really important. Or like the style of filming of the stormtroopers.
Yeah, yeah.
It was like this thing that I know and love is back, but that is a very different shot in a very modern shot, right?
Totally.
And I think that was really powerful for me.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, even in looking at the freeze frames this time around, you know, we got, there's some Abrams lens flare, which is such a, you know, punchline, and maybe you don't need every one of them. It's so effective in this sequence because what you and I have been kind of talking about this whole time about Star Wars in the modern age and Star Wars, oh my gosh, it's there and it's real. That whole sequence that it's the Falcon above sand during the day. And it looks like it's happening in my backyard. That's part of the genius of it.
Yeah. The literal like roller coaster loop de loop thrill of the Falcon there. I also just really liked, I think at the time I kind of felt like, okay, well they're holding back on, you know, who's a Jedi or, you know, or Luke reveal, because I think in Star Wars language, or especially marketing language before this, the light side is a Jedi, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
The light side is a lightsaber. So for me, that also felt like, cause I grew up with the light side is maybe the rebel insignia, definitely a hand holding a lightsaber, you know, a Jedi whipping down their hood. Those are the images that I expect to go with, you know, there's been awakening, the dark side and the light. And so it was for me casting the Falcon in a slightly different role. Not that I didn't associate it with the heroes, but that was like, there's the roguish. That was the thing that's like, it's falling apart, but it's got some surprises. So I just kind of really liked how much it was saying that you're like, yeah, no, the Falcon is a symbol of the light side of the Force. No, you know?
I get what you're saying. I almost unspoken growing up with, like, again, Han's the scoundrel guy. That's a ship. That's his floating RV. It's called a hunk of junk time and time again. So maybe we view it like that. But you're right. It wasn't the green blade wasn't ignited that we might have expected, or Luke takes his cowl off and he's here to say, you know, they could have done that final shot from the hill of Luke taking his, you know, his cowl off. That could have been the shot and we would have been, wow, they didn't want to, they didn't need to. This was the shot.
And oh man, can you imagine if that was in the trailer a year out?
And then that's all I got.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So Yeah, I mean, I'm sure a lot of fans process it differently, and I'm sure some fans are like, yeah, no, of course, the Falcon, the ship that helped destroy the second Death Star, it's a symbol of the light. But for me, I think growing up so, like, Luke and the Force and then Han, that's his broken down hot rod that has surprises, you know, in it. That's the ship that runs away from being captured by bounty hunters. To see it firmly set as, you know, it is a symbol of the light side. Mm-hmm. It was really, really cool to me.
Absolutely. Everything.
So we talked about this a little bit at the top, but as we wrapping up here, I want to get your thoughts on if a trailer like this would work for the next big screen Star Wars film. Like, the next big screen Star Wars film, there's going to be a solid break from mm-hmm. having Star Wars on the big screen. Do you think a trailer like this might work, or is it entirely a product of its time?
I think it could work. I think they settled into a nice style with the trailers. Like I said, they, it's not lather, rinse, repeat at all, but it's like all the other movies, Solo, Rogue One included, had Solo was different. Solo's different. The music was different, but even then it has the images, and then this December or this May, and then sweeping music, and everyone listening knows what I'm talking about. They really settled into a nice warm formula with the trailers for the movies. I think you have the ability to do something different now. You will have some time, and it will make it feel, I think it'll do a little bit. It could in a little way recapture some of this 2014 magic, which we'll never really experience again. We'll never really experience the 1999 magic again. We'll never really experience the 2014, 2015 magic again. That I get. But you know what I mean? Of just like, whether if it's Rogue Squadron or Taika Waititi presents the funny, happy, dry humor Star Wars film, whatever. if we just get a minute 20 shot, music, cue, boom, something new, and it wouldn't be a Falcon or something we know. I really think it could work. I'm not trying to boil it down to just this formula, but a teaser that's truly a tease a year out, 6 months out from a new Star Wars film, I think some of the that magic would be there.
I think so too. I think that, yeah, it's a different kind of hype. The Phantom Menace trailer was brand new Star Wars. Like that was the fun of that was, what is that? And the new things, right? The mm-hmm. who are these characters and the double-bladed lightsaber and the young Obi-Wan Kenobi and all that stuff. And this really was an awakening of Star Wars in general, but lots of original trilogy flair, and along with the amazing impossibility of the big three coming back, right?
Yeah.
The actors. Yeah. So that is a unique energy of return, and going from George Lucas saying, I did it.
Yeah.
I finished Star Wars, to the impossibility of him selling it and it coming back. That can't be replicated. But I do think exactly as you're saying, this tease structure of just really making you go, oh, that was a really interesting character. Mm-hmm. That character is in an environment I only half recognize. What's their problem? Right. What's going on? That just sense of being teased, giving nothing in the narrative, just the energy and the mood and the aesthetic, and giving fans plenty of room to speculate and dream. Mm. Speculate responsibly, hopefully, as we say here on Force Center. But I also just think that there is room and need for, by the time Star Wars does come back to the big screen,
mm-hmm.
whatever the project is, there needs to be a real perspective in the way it's sold, right?
Yeah.
Because it can't be, we made another Star Wars, right?
Mm-hmm.
It has to, whatever it is they're trying to sell, if it's that, if it ended up being Rogue Squadron, you know, push back a year. I know that's not the scuttlebutt right now, but I'm just using it for instance. Then it would really need to be like, you've never flown in Star Wars like you're going to fly in this film, right?
Right.
Or if it is Taika Waititi taking a more comic approach, like, Star Wars has never been this much fun, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Whatever the kind of angle is, it's got to be as powerful, in my opinion, as the awakening is in this.
Yes.
And so maybe it's not this energy of, isn't it amazing that Star Wars is back?
Mm-hmm.
But I think it could have a little bit of like, isn't it amazing that Star Wars is back on the big screen? Like,
right.
You know, isn't the thrill of Star Wars, remember the thrill of seeing Star Wars, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe it's even, the whole mission of this is to show you, you've never seen Star Wars like this. Like, yep, it's another Star Wars. You can see it on Disney Plus constantly, but not in the theater.
not like this and not with this take.
Right.
I think the trailer could possibly use some of whatever it is, could use some of this Force Awakens teaser energy.
Totally agree. It almost as if the selling point needs to be, instead of see it again for the first time, of leave your house again for the first time. Star Wars.
Star Wars, put on pants. It's worth it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah. I think you're right. I think yeah, you're absolutely right. And I'm hoping. I'd love to experience this kind of a, you know, where we have 6 months of the same minute and 20 seconds.
Oh, man, that would be great. I would love that. And if it lands on Black Friday this time, you will not be at a mall.
You know, not this year, at least.
The future is always in motion. Ken, my final question for you is just a fun one. If there was a trailer for your Thanksgiving this year, what would that look like?
For this year? Yeah. This year, a lot better. It'd just be shots of first an empty couch. And then a dog on a couch, and then Grace sitting down, and then me sitting down with some vegan mac and cheese, and then a ghost show coming on, and maybe a Bond film. Fingers crossed. And that would be and it would be just a go home again for the first time. But
remember how good the couch can be.
It's just us this particular holiday. We celebrated a little early with her sister, but the previous years would be a wide variety. You would either have shots of people ripping down metal glass doors, people fighting over Nike shoes, a real big punch out inside of Victoria's Secret one time. You would have had all that, as well as some serious things I won't scare y'all with. Shot, and then just pan in on me. And I'm like Han in the It's True All of It moment. I'm just like in a disheveled, ill-fitting suit, just clean-shaven with, you know, coffee stains on a tie. And it's just like, can this man get through it all?
I like your both of your Thanksgiving trailers, and I like that one sounds a little bit better than the other, just for your life. Yeah, it's fun to think about it back in the day of like, yeah, there'd be a shot of me trying to shovel my car out from snow.
Yeah.
Shot of me trying to apologize to one group of in-laws because we have to go see the other in-laws. Shot of me on a ladder trying to put the letters on a marquee for a holiday show without slipping and dying. It would have been very, very eventful. In this year, I think mostly just loving shots of pie.
Yeah.
And then just to add some extra energy, swearing at the Christmas tree lights. Love putting the Christmas tree lights up, but I've discussed it with Sarah, and I have permission to get annoyed with the lights and swear at them.
Love it.
So a little tiny bit of conflict, but other than that, a very good time. And we hope anybody listening who celebrates Thanksgiving or just celebrates having some time off around this time is having a great celebration and enjoying themselves and getting some time to relax and think fond thoughts about Star Wars. Any concluding thoughts as we wrap up here, Ken?
No, we're joking about the passing of time, both how fast and how slow it is. And it's literally three lifetimes ago for me in terms of career. Force Center was still a year away from starting. We did not start until October 2015. Crazy to go back to those times, but one thing that's still there, was there, and always will be there for me, and I know you, Joseph, and many listening here, is that joy. That fist pumping, eyes tearing up joy at seeing Star Wars.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm really grateful for the memories, both the very positive and the instructive from this teaser back in the day. And man, when I just look at it now, it is very pure. This is just a really thrilling trailer asking you to remember that Star Wars is fun, that Star Wars is a thrill ride, that it's got depth to it, it's got ideas to it. There's a lot at stake, there's urgency, but also, man, it's just so fun. And I think it's a good thing for me to watch every once in a while and just try to have an awakening.
It is, man.
Alone at home.
Do it. Do it. It's a great thing. It's a great fun thing to put on some Star Wars trailers. What do you think Mark Ellis does on the road? Do you think he's the high life is a comic? No, kids. He goes back to his hotel room, has a Coors Light, and watches the Star Wars trailers on repeat. I've been there. It's a fun thing.
Well, that sounds like a fun Thanksgiving too. And with that in mind, Ken, do you want to let people know where they can find us?
Yes, I do. We are the Force Center podcast feed. We can be found on Twitter, Force Center Pod. Our Facebook page is Force Center Podcast. We are on Instagram and YouTube as well. I always say, hey, we're not as active on those things right now. More things coming. But now that you can upload from your desktop onto Instagram, I'm making a point to put more things on our Instagram page. Podcast is available in a lot of different spots, including iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, and more. And I'll throw in a wild card, Joseph. Going to tease. There's going to be something coming your way on where you can find Force Center information soon. It's going to be really cool. We can't wait to share that with you. Merch is available at tpublic.com/user/Force Center. And you can support us directly at patreon.com/Force Center. Go to my website, kednapsock.com. If you want more information on all the things I do, including stand-up comedy with Mark Ellis, we'll be on the road mid-December in Washington, D.C. at the Comedy Loft. 4 shows. Check out there. Or you can just follow me at kednapsock. Joseph, you.
Yeah, I can't wait to share some of our Force Center awakenings for myself. You can find me at Twitter, Instagram, TikTok is at Joseph Scrimshaw. And you can check out my website, josephscrimshaw.com, for all of my other comedy adventures, including my Star Wars comedy album that features some outdated opinions from me recorded on an album that you can purchase. That one's called Rebel Scum. So check that out if you are interested. But for now, for myself, for Ken, for that mysterious, charming little ball droid, this has been Force Center.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.